sermon text comes from Malachi chapter 3 and verse 8 through 12, page 973 in the Pew Bible. Ask that you stand if you are able and hear God's word. Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, and you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. And I invite you to pray with me now. Father in heaven, we're grateful, Lord, that you have given us everything we need for life and godliness. We thank you, too, that you promised to supply all our needs. Thank you that you've given us this word and you've given us the principle of tithing, reminding us that all we have is of you and is yours. And so, Lord, we pray that you would enable us to honor you and to glorify you as we consider this word and as we seek to honor you with the first and best of all that you give us. Help us, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sermon title this morning is No Longer Robbers. No Longer Robbers. The Blessing of Tithing. The Blessing of Tithing. And so this morning I want to give you a little thought experiment. If I were to hand each of you $100, Benjamin Franklin bill, if I were to hand each of you $100, what would you do with it? How would you spend it? I hope that each of you would say, well, the first $10 of it I would give to the Lord. That's called the tithe. And that's a matter of stewardship. In other words, God has made each of his people stewards or managers of a certain amount of resources, a certain amount of time, treasure, and talents. And part of that treasure, 10% is the Lord's. That's what the Bible says. And he lets us use the other 90% because all of it is his. Amen. And so what we're talking about is the need for us to honor God with the tithe. We must honor God with the tithe. What is the tithe? Well, to tithe is to give 10% of what we produce annually for the work of the church. Tithing is first mentioned in the Bible in Genesis 14:18, where it says, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him, that is Abram, and said, blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And he blessed And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand. And then it says, and he, Abram, gave him a tenth of all. And then following in this pattern, when one tribe, the Levites, were set aside to serve in the sanctuary, the tithe from the 11 other tribes were given to support that tribe, the Levites, in their ministry in the sanctuary. Because you remember, all the tribes got an inheritance of land, but the Levites did not get an inheritance. And so the other tribes were to support the Levites so that they could continue in the ministry in the sanctuary. And then in the New Testament, gospel workers continue in that principle. 1 Corinthians 9:13, Paul says, do you not know that those who minister the holy things eat of the things of the temple, and those who serve at the altar partake of the offerings of the altar? Even so, the Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should live from the gospel. And so, who is supposed to live from the gospel? Church workers, missionaries, parachurch organizations, those who help spread the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And so we find that the tithe is the Lord's. Leviticus 27, a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from your soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. Leviticus 27, 30. And so the tithe, it's not ours, it's the Lord's. Amen? Amen. And so, we must stop robbing God. Our passage tells us, if we don't tithe, we are robbing God. Why? Because at least a tenth of our income belongs to Him. Why is that? Well, all we have is the Lord's. God created everything. He created us. And so all that we have is His. How can I say this? Well, Psalm 24 says exactly that. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's, and all its fullness, the world, and those who dwell therein. And so it's true. All that we have is His. All that we make and all that we are is the Lord's. And so the tithe is a reminder that all we have and all that we ever hold comes from Him. R.C. Sproul said, to withhold the full measure of the tithe that God requires from His people is to be guilty of robbing God Himself. Wow. And so, even though all we have and make is the Lord's, yet He allows us to use 90% of it. That's one way of thinking. It's not, oh no, we can't spend 10%. Well, that's one way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is, wow, God lets us use 90%. And God is able to do more with the 90% than we can do with 100%. And that's something I've found out over the years. I learned about tithing many years ago at Mount Carmel Church, not here in this building, but at Pastor Cameron's house, where there was a chapel added on to his house. and he taught about tithing. And I began when I was in college to tithe. And you think about, wow, as a college student, can you tithe? You know, you have all these tuition to pay and all that. But learned early on to set aside the first 10%. And that's what you do in your budget. The first 10% is God's. And then God is able, with the 90%, to enable us to pay all that we need to pay. Now, it doesn't mean that we're going to be able to get all the things that we may want, but we'll be able to get all the things that we need. And so you try to live within the means of what you make. And so Pastor Cameron taught us how to set a budget and live within a budget. So God is able to do more with the 90% than we can do with the 100%. But there's a problem. And the problem is fleshly and false thinking gets in the way of biblical thinking and in the way of blessing. There are those who say that tithing is part of the law and therefore does not apply to the New Testament Christian. There are those who say, well, Jesus never taught directly on tithing. And so if he never taught directly on it, then the people come to this conclusion that they don't have to do it. It's a fallacy of thought. Or some teach, well, we're not under Old Testament law, so we don't have to tithe. Or we should give freely, not under compulsion, therefore we are not obligated to tithe. And my answer to those excuses is that, first of all, tithing was practiced by Abraham and Jacob, and so it was practiced long before the law of Moses. So Abraham tithed, Jacob tithed. In Hebrews, it makes the point that Abraham tithed Levi. He paid, Levi paid tithes through Abraham. But the literal saying in Hebrews 7 is Abraham tithed Levi. And so this idea of tithing comes to us in Genesis, just like a number of other moral mandates come to us in Genesis before we hear the Exodus and Deuteronomy form of those laws. For example, we have the Sabbath taught in Genesis, early in Genesis, when God rests on the seventh day. The idea of the Sabbath is introduced. In Genesis 3, we have the idea of sacrifice, when God made coverings for Adam and Eve. He made coverings out of the skins of animals. And to do that, that required a sacrifice. So the idea of sacrifice and blood shed for forgiveness. That begins to be understood in Genesis chapter 3. And then also the idea of bringing God the first and the best of what we produce. Abel brought the first and best of his flocks to God in sacrifice. And so the idea of the tithe, though the word is not used, the idea is there in that the first tenth of what we earn, we bring to God. Another point is the New Testament doesn't discontinue the tithe. Jesus encourages that it should be done in Matthew 23:23, as well as remembering justice and mercy. He says, "This you also ought not to have left undone." You can read about that in Matthew 23:23. Paul also teaches that God commands that those who preach the gospel should get their living from the gospel. Those ministering in the temple partook of the food and offerings of the temple. So barring any instruction otherwise, the tithe would continue to finance God's work in the world through the local church and other gospel ministry. And so, though we are commanded to do something, we can still do it freely and cheerfully. Jesus said, "If you love me, keep my commands." John 14:15. And also, we're called to love the law of God. Psalm 119:97. "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." Amen. And so even though we're commanded to do it, we still can do it gladly and joyfully. And so we ask God's Spirit to enable us to do it, and to do it with joy and gladness, because God has provided everything we need and in abundance. Amen. I think also another objection is there are those who preach very hard and strong on tithing, and then they squander the funds that come in from the tithes of the people, and some have purchased jets and very expensive cars and jewelry and all these kinds of things, and have loved the world rather than loving the Lord, and so that in some sense gives tithing a bad name. But the use is never negated by an abuse. And so there are a lot of things of God's gifts that we can abuse, but it doesn't mean that we can't use them and use them for good as God intended them. And so God did intend tithing as something for financing the work of God. Amen? How can God's work be done without resources? And so God has provided a way for the gospel to go forth. And the way he does that is by financing it through the tithes and offering of God's people. And so I want to encourage us to submit to the blessing of tithing. Let's submit to the blessing of tithing. What does God say in Malachi 3:10? "Bring all the tithes," or "bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be no room enough to receive it." And so there's this idea of the windows of heaven being open, or the floodgates of heaven. Same word. So if you think of Noah's flood, we're going to be flooded with a blessing if we are obedient and submit to the blessing of tithing. That's what God says. Do we believe God's word to be true? Yes, we do. And so let's take God up on his invitation to blessing. Amen? Now you might be wondering, well, what about the storehouse? In Malachi's day, the temple was the storehouse. But today, the local church is the storehouse. Why do I say that? Well, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, Paul says, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do also. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." It's interesting that terminology, storing up, is used there. And so there's that connection between the storehouse of the temple and the storehouse of the local church. And so as we submit to the blessing of tithing, there are going to be several results. Result number one, there will be food in God's house. Physical food and spiritual food. Gospel ministry continues and advances. Why? As I said before, it takes resources to do gospel work. How will the gospel go forth? How will the work of the gospel continue if we're not obedient to the command to tithe? How will Mount Carmel continue if we're not obedient to tithe? That's why, part of the reason why I'm preaching about tithing this morning. In our bylaws, I'm encouraged to preach at least once a year on tithing as the way that God's work is financed. And we are discouraged from doing fundraisers like raffles and chicken dinners and other ways people raise funds. Not speaking against doing those things, but there is a way to fund God's work, the way that God has given us, and that way is found in the scriptures. And so we should follow that rather than inventing something else to take the place of God's way of financing his work. So result one, there's food in God's house. There's food, spiritual food. There's food if we need to help our brothers and sisters who might be in need from time to time, which we do from our deacons fund. So food in God's house. Result number two, God will bless abundantly and overflowingly and uncontainably. That's what God's word says. God will open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not room enough to receive it. And so I encourage you, try it. Try God and see what happens. Result number three, God will stop your losses. Verse 11, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts." I don't know if you know this, but in food production, one of the biggest problems farmers face is losses. Losses of a crop while it's growing, or even post-harvest losses. There are estimates that 30 to almost 50% of crops are lost after the harvest. And so the thought is, if you can reduce those post-harvest and pre-harvest losses, you can produce more food. And so what God is saying is, I'll reduce them to zero if you tithe. That's what it says in the word. And so I'm going to believe what God said is true. Amen. God will stop your losses. And then result number four, you will be called blessed and a delight. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. So when this was originally spoken to the people of God through Malachi, they had been in exile. They had been away from the delightful land, the promised land, and God was bringing them back. And as God brought them back, they had forgotten the tithe. And so God is reminding them to give a tenth, and that they would be called blessed and a delightful land. And so God is going to bless us so much when we bring in the tithe that people will see the blessing of God and they will say so. They will call you blessed and you will be a delightful land. That's what God says about it. And so lastly, we need to trust God and test him now. Did you notice that it says now? It says in verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me or test me now. Now is the time to try and to test the Lord. We can't say, oh no, well, I'm not going to test the Lord. King Ahab tried that. Didn't work too well for him. And so we want, if God tells us to test, then we better test, because we want to be obedient to the command of God. And so I ask myself and I ask you this morning, have you ever tested God with the tithe? What do you believe about testing God with the tithe? Will he show himself faithful? Will he indeed open the floodgates of heaven and pour out on you a blessing? Some of you are a witness that God does that. So let's test him. Amen. He says to do it, so let's do it. Question. Some may ask, well, should I tithe on the net or on the gross? The answer to that is, well, it depends. Do you want to be blessed on the net or the gross? So there's your answer. If you want to be blessed on the gross, tithe on the gross and watch God bless you back. Amen. If you're already tithing, have you tested him by increasing your tithe or by adding offerings beyond the tithe? Can you outbless God? I don't think so. God's going to bless you beyond what you imagine or expect. Amen? And he commands that we test him. And so now would be a good time to obey him and test him and see what God will do. And so, beloved, let's honor God with the tithe. Let's stop robbing him. Let's submit to the blessing of tithing and test God now and receive great blessing. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you that you have given us so much. Thank you for creating us. Thank you for sustaining us. Thank you for redeeming us through your Son, Jesus, that we are not our own. We were bought with a price. And so Now we want to glorify you in the body and glorify you by honoring you with a tenth of all that you have given us. Thank you for blessing us. And pray that your Spirit would lead us and show us how to apply this. Thank you for giving us all. You gave us your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you for giving him for us. Help us to give in gratitude for you, what you have given us. Thank you. We praise you. We pray that you would be honored as we follow your word. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.